Well, hello there, and welcome to the Root Cause Medicine Podcast. I'm your host for today, Dr. Kate Kresge. And nutrition changes are one of the things we recommend most in healthcare because they work and they're so profound. And yet, they're one of the hardest for our patients to implement. Many patients leave appointments knowing they should eat differently, and they might even know why. They also know they need to reduce their stress, improve their sleep, and follow their treatment plan. But translating those recommendations into everyday life and making those prescriptions a reality is often where the real challenge begins for them. And by then, they're at home by themselves, and it might be weeks before their next appointment with you. Today's guests are helping to redefine how nutrition professionals fit into modern integrative healthcare. We sit down with Monique Richard, Holly Van Poots, and Sudha Raj to discuss a new paper examining the evolving role of registered dietitian nutritionists who are trained in integrative and functional nutrition. They explore why behavior change is often the missing link in patient care, how food connects culture and identity, and why nutrition professionals may be uniquely positioned to help patients bridge the gap between knowing what to do and actually doing it. You'll love meeting our three guests today, and I can't wait for you to hear them speak. Before we get started, though, I've got a special question for the practitioners in the audience. Practitioners, what if your supplement dispensing, patient education, and treatment planning all lived in one powerful platform, built for whole person care? And what if that platform was free for both you and your patients while saving you hours each week on treatment planning and follow-up? Well, meet FullScript, the comprehensive care delivery platform designed to reduce administrative burden and enhance clinical impact. From automated refills and lab ordering with interpretation to evidence-based protocols and built-in adherence support, FullScript integrates the tools you need to streamline care and stay focused on what matters most, your patients. In a recent survey, 74% of providers reported saving up to 3 hours per week using FullScript to create their treatment plans. Are you ready to work smarter and elevate your practice? Visit FullScript.com to get started today. Monique, Holly, and Sudha, welcome to the Root Cause Medicine Podcast.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you very much.
I'm thrilled to have you here. So I had a conversation with Monique a few weeks ago where she brought up this paper that each of you has helped to author. And I was so intrigued. I thought, I have to have this team on the podcast to come talk about it. And you all got together to author a paper on the changes to scope that RDNs in integrative and functional medicine are experiencing right now. Let's talk about what made this paper so exciting and necessary right now.
Yeah, so many of us have been practicing this way for years, whether we came to this approach from our own health challenges or just from working with a lot of different clients and settling on what really works for them. Even so, there's still confusion about how dietitians fit into this care beyond just general healthful nutrition advice. This paper is actually the third iteration of published guidance that was intended for dietitians practicing in our specialized focus area of integrative and functional nutrition. And it's really meant to complement the CDR's scope and standards of practice for all registered dietitian nutritionists. This version is important because there have been a number of practice changes since the 2019 revision. We find that patients are showing up with complex multi-system concerns. Nutrition is often a central piece of that, but it hasn't always been integrated into care teams in a clear and consistent way. So this paper helps define how IFN dietitians contribute clinically, not just in theory, but in real patient care that goes beyond general dietary patterns and addresses the whole person.
I also want to just jump in too and expand for our audience, whether you're a layman or a practitioner, about integrative and functional nutrition. So integrative is like we're casting a broad net, and functional is like we're going deeper. So we have this broad net that we may be doing referrals, or we may be aware of other modalities like acupuncture, and then functional, we're going deeper, right, into our biochemical route. So I just want to like put that into the audience's ear and mind. And that really begins to create an image where they're like, I get it. So patients are really looking for this, right? They're really seeking out this kind of support. They're trying to connect symptoms with daily life, what they're eating, how they're sleeping, how stress is showing up in their bodies. And a lot of what we do is help connect those dots. We're kind of like nutrition detectives, right? We investigate data and patterns influencing someone's health. Then we work collaboratively to create realistic, sustainable strategies that support long-term well-being.
I think this is really important because patients often leave functional medicine appointments, whether it's with a naturopath, an MD, a DO, and they can feel very overwhelmed and kind of thinking, how am I going to implement this into my day-to-day life? I also think there's a huge desire for what's called food as medicine, but actually doing that, prescribing it, and then making it real can be really difficult. And people with your specialty and training are experts in this. And sometimes it's really just connecting those dots. So what do you all see as the biggest gaps right now that registered dietitian nutritionists with integrative and functional training are really well positioned to fill right now? And Sudo, let's start with you.
Okay. Thank you. So most of our clinical encounters that we experience when we visit a physician or a dietitian, basically they are focusing on diagnosis and treatment decisions. They're not really focusing on behavior change. So the 10 or 15 minute visit is not really designed for the slow and contextual work that IFN nutrition requires. So IFN dietitians basically work in a different kind of time where the relationship has an element of healing in it. It is a philosophy of care. So the time, changes what's possible, that 15-minute block or 10-minute block. So food is never just about food. You know, if patients were given enough sessions, patients will start talking about the food, the environment, the experiences that they have had with their food. So there are a lot of cultural food histories that carry identity for people, memory, and a sense of belongingness. All of that is very hard to capture on any kind of intake form. And all of that requires time. So either it has to be a lengthened visit or it has to be more frequent visits so that we can get to know the patient so that we can make our recommendations more patient-centered.
I love this. It sounds like integrative and functionally trained registered dietitian nutritionists tend to have more time or more frequent visits with clients. So let me ask the team, actually, how long is a standard visit with someone in your field and how often are you seeing folks?
Well, the initial assessment is usually between an hour, hour and a half, sometimes 2 or 3 hours, depending on how complex the case is. And then a lot of times follow-ups are 30 to 45 minutes. And again, depending on the person's needs, frequency is going to adjust whether, the person has an eating disorder and needs more frequent visits, or it just depends on that individual. And so we do have that flexibility with time and the individual's needs.
Yeah. Oh, I love hearing this. And I think a lot of practitioners will love hearing this as well. We're going to come back to how practitioners can find someone with your training in their area to bring in as part of care teams, because I think that's critically important. And I'm glad that we're kind of diving a little bit into how visits are structured. I want to dive deeper with you, Monique, into, you know, what's happening in those visits. What does a visit with an IFN trained RDN look like?
Yeah, so we're looking at the whole picture. We're looking at the bird's eye view, and then we're honing in and laser focusing on the deep details as well, and then pulling back out. Yes, food, but also digestion, energy, genetics, genetic predisposition, preferences, cultural traditions, sleep, environment. Do they have access to these items? What is their access like? Their stress? What do the labs say? And what are their daily routines? And so much more. So for example, someone has GI symptoms, right? They're just not feeling well. We're not just about removing foods necessarily or adding an arbitrary supplement. We're all about what's missing and what can be added back into life, to their quality of life, right? So we ask questions like, how is digestion functioning? We investigate what's happening with meal timing. What is their stress load doing to the gut? What does the gut microbiome look like? And so we're assessing and investigating all those things with great care and walking alongside that person and their journey.
And to kind of add on to what Monique was mentioning before, we might start with a lengthy intake appointment. I usually schedule mine for around 75 minutes or so. And then follow-ups can vary, like she was saying, depending on what is going on with the client. But I think what is in common amongst all of those situations and the different types of clients that we see is that we really have to stay involved over time. We can't always get all of the information that we need in one setting. We are building relationships, like Sudha mentioned, we're building trust and rapport. And sometimes clients don't even know what's behind what is going on with how they behave around or with food. So we're really helping people implement changes, adjust when things aren't working, build habits that fit their lives. It's more than just a plan. It's really a process and a framework for how they're going to approach change.
This is so wonderful to hear. And it's such a relief to hear. I think knowing that folks with your training are able to form those deep relationships, do the medical detective work, but then actually take clinical findings from labs, from a microbiome analysis, from a digestive stool analysis, and help to tie those to symptoms and then create a truly holistic plan that works for the client to begin to heal is huge.
Exactly. We help interpret patterns like blood sugar trends, lipid markers, or GI symptoms. And then we connect those things to meal consumption, nutrient intake, eating patterns, medical diagnoses again. We break it down to small, doable, practical daily habits that we can support while your physiology is being supported. And again, it is very relational.
So context is everything. So food is not just about nutrients, but it is also about cultural heritage. It's about access, family situation, the environment, as Holly and Monique mentioned, the access to food, etc. So we can make recommendations, but if we don't consider these factors that influence the individual and the environment that they live in, our recommendations are really moot because a person will not be able to follow them to any great extent. So we have these processes of shared decision making where we, you know, the time that we spend with the patient is about talking with them, finding out what their challenges are and how we could meet them midway at least to help mitigate some of those challenges and make these recommendations actually workable for them.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. You all have mentioned diagnostics or labs at some point, and my ears obviously perked up being from Rupa Health, now at Fullscript, focused on diagnostics. I've seen the power of these. I've been in situations where, you know, we're working with a client on making sure they're getting all the nutrients they need from food. I run diagnostics probably 3 months into the process, and I find something I totally wish I would have known on day one. We've probably all been there. I'm so curious how RDNs with integrative and functional training tend to think about labs and testing in the context of client care.
We like to think about labs and testing as a piece of the puzzle that we are working to solve. And so we work with our clients and patients through a shared decision-making process to decide when is the right time and what we are trying to uncover to start incorporating labs or testing. What resources do they have? Do they have, the access to the labs, the financial security? There's other things that we can do first if they don't feel like that is what they need to start with. But some clients feel like they want to start with lab testing. But really, when it comes down to it, we need to make sure that the foundational changes and the foundational lifestyle habits come first. Sometimes the labs and testing are really that next layer or the icing on the cake, sometimes people will say. Those foundational changes like eating regular meals, having adequate nutrient intake, being well hydrated. Some clients need digestive support, making sure they get good sleep quality and quantity. They have means for relaxation and social support. They have some process for joyful movement in their lives, and also that they have ways to manage their stress. These foundational lifestyle changes can sometimes shift symptoms and labs significantly without really adding complexity that can also be a part of the picture.
It's hitting home for me how much benefit my clients would have working with someone with your training regularly, because you have the time and the interest and the expertise to focus on all parts of what nourishes them, which is, I think, different from what many providers might expect when they refer to someone who is a registered dietitian nutrition. They may be thinking they'll get a meal plan, they might get some feedback on their supplements, and they may not know you're planning to assess and chat with clients about this. And it's so very powerful. Now, the integrative and functional lens is different. It's not a standard part of RDN training from what I understand. So how does somebody become an RDN with an integrative and functional focus? What type of training do they go through?
So for us, we all started with the same background and foundation. We're all registered dietitian nutritionists. So that process includes formal education, a supervised practice component, passing a national board exam. And then from there, many of us pursue additional training specific to integrative and functional nutrition. There can be advanced coursework. There are different degree granting programs. There's also different certification programs, lots of continuing education that's available in areas related to functional medicine, as well as things like GI health, metabolic health, nutrient biochemistry.
And many dietitians also train through a variety of organizations developed by seasoned dietitians, our mentors, and people that have been doing this long before it hit mainstream and became kind of, you know, the it language or trendy. So, you know, there's lots and lots of education, additional training related to nutrigenomics, and of course, always changing and up and coming epigenetics, biochemistry, systems biology, looking at all we know at the microbiome and how it's changing on the daily, and then how those systems interact, right?
And I think also the disease process, the way the disease process is looked at is very different. So as an educator, I have, I think, tried to change courses like metabolism, nutritional biochemistry, to not just be pathways, but basically to see what is the common underlying thread that connects diseases. So, you know, we have these names like diabetes, kidney disease, and cardiovascular disease. But what is the imbalance that is happening at the base of that? So it's chronic inflammation, it is oxidative stress, poor detoxification. So as students learn about these common underlying imbalances, then it's a way for them to think about, okay, I'm not treating diabetes or just cardiovascular disease or renal disease, but I'm going to try and treat the underlying imbalance, because that makes more sense. So that way, with one intervention, you can attack many targets, you know, instead of just having a diabetic diet or a cardiovascular diet. So it's not that they are not being used. You know, when we talk about glycemic index and all of that, that's very important from a diabetic point of view. But we're trying to see, okay, would PCOS be related to diabetes? Would it, you know, or to insulin resistance? So that the only way of finding that is by looking at these chronic underlying imbalance. So that also makes us a little bit different from a conventional practice.
It sounds like root cause. And that is obviously one of our favorite terms around here.
It is absolutely root cause. And there's also an experiential side, right? So we have to remember what evidence-based practice is. It's actually a three-pronged approach. It's the intersection of science, clinical expertise, and the lived experience of the patient. That gets thrown around a lot. There's a lot of naysayers that say this isn't evidence-based. And so we have to remember what that is in association with practice-based evidence. And of course, always centering around that patient and client. So we're really looking at how to apply that science in a very individualized way. We're learning alongside our patients and our clients. If we weren't, we wouldn't be doing the best as a practitioner. We don't possibly know everything. And so we're listening, we're adapting, and we're really figuring out how to best support people in their life.
This is fantastic. I love that part of this paper that the three of you authored really focused on collaboration. And Holly, you have a particular expertise with people with eating disorders, which I think is just important to call out here, because this space can be really tricky for folks with eating disorders. Integrative and functional medicine in particular can really exacerbate eating disorders when practitioners might be prescribing something like an elimination diet and they don't have the expertise of working with someone with an eating disordered history. Orthorexia is a huge problem in our field. So I'd love for you to speak to your own expertise for a minute of, you know, when do you wish other practitioners would bring you in? What's your lens that you feel like is really critical, but that can get missed if someone's not thinking about it?
For sure. I think that part of what is really important is the intake process and doing some screening for disordered eating, asking the right questions before we just hand over a therapeutic elimination diet. Now, sometimes the disordered eating patterns develop after we start or, another care team or another provider starts taking things away. But again, I think it comes down to really looking at the person that's sitting in front of us, asking what their relationship is with food. How do they feed themselves? How did they grow up around food? What are their kind of thoughts, and also how they talk to themselves, the kind of the voices that are there about their body and about food and about how they take care of themselves. And when we can really hear that and honor that and then ask ourselves what would be helpful to this person, and then working in conjunction, of course, it's so important to work with their mental health care providers, their therapists, their psychiatrists, whoever is on their care team, having that good communication so that everyone is aligned on the same page. And I think also so that we're being very candid about what all of our goals are. What are kind of the, what are our thresholds for elevating a care level to the next step? I've also had a number of clients that have been in numerous eating disorder treatment programs, and yet they still find themselves with disordered eating many years later. Not to say that those treatment programs don't work for many people, but again, it comes down to, you know, what is the lived experience of the person in front of us? What has worked for them? What hasn't worked for them? How can we kind of sit beside them, guide them through, figure out what is going to work for them with the time, with the capacity, with the bandwidth that they have at this stage in their recovery?
I think that's brilliant. So for the practitioners listening, to do this week, make sure you're screening for eating disorders in your intake. And then number two, make sure you're paired up with an expert in your community so that when you find evidence of that, you are actually working in collaboration with that person to help your client take whatever next step you're thinking may benefit them with nutrition and really have that expert RDN guiding that. I think that would improve probably 20% of integrative and functional medicine cases.
We are in an Ascend, accredited program. So most of our training is based on just general dietetics. But I found in my role as graduate program director, many students at the graduate level, when they come in, they have some personal issues and they've heard about integrative and functional nutrition. So they come in and they express an interest. And that is what several years ago started us on building a curriculum around this. So basically what we do is our students are studying all the nutrition courses that are required for the graduate level, but they have a lot of electives. So as Monique mentioned, we have nutrigenomics, which is very important to understand the genetic basis. We also have a course on just introduction to integrative and functional medical nutrition therapy, where we're trying to teach the students on how an assessment is done. You know, it's not just about taking a 24-hour recall, but how we use an IFMNT radial. So where the person is at the center and we're looking at the metabolic imbalances, we're looking at symptoms, we're looking at so many other issues. So through case studies, through simulations, through having practitioners like Holly and Monique actually present in our classes makes a big difference, because then students, and I always encourage them, if you need a shadowing experience, contact some of these people so that you can be like a fly on the wall. That is how I learned it from all of these practitioners in the practice group. So because we are not practitioners and we are not doing real everyday assessments and things like that, it's nice to follow along with somebody else. And that helps a lot, all the presentations and all case studies and simulations, etc. We also do a section on counseling and motivational interviewing, because that's very important on not just asking people to do this or do that, but through a lifestyle approach. So when we bring in the lifestyle, we bring in the genetics. And then always I tell my students that you have to be cognizant about the environment that people live in, including us, because the environment is not just about the physical environment. It is about the food, the air, the water, it's like the roots that nourish us and that nurture us. And all of these are emotional relationships. All of these are environmental inputs. And when these all come together, you have this confluence of genetics, the environment, and lifestyle. So over 4 or 5 courses, we train students to slowly shape their pattern of thinking. Of course, in education, it's very important without the experiential part of it that, you know, you cannot bring some of this to fruition. But students have taken up integrative and functional practice after their RD training. Some of them have gone on to work in a voluntary capacity with the practice group, which has been immensely helpful to all of them. So as an educator, I'm limited in terms of the experiential learnings, but, you know, I try to partner, collaborate with people like Monique and Holly and other practitioners within the practice group, because they are a wealth of information and their experiences. And the nice thing about the practice group, at least from my experience, is the amount of time that they are willing to spend to either teach you, to mentor you, to guide you. And I think we have to use that as a resource and capitalize on that resource.
Absolutely. I'm curious, where can a practitioner or a patient who's looking for someone with this type of training, where can they find those folks? Is there like a directory online? What do you all suggest?
Yeah, there's a couple avenues. You could go to eatright.org. That's the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and they have a directory and they have specific dietitians list their specialties. So there are integrative and functional nutrition listed there with that highlighting. There's several different organizations related to integrative and functional nutrition. One in particular, Integrative and Functional Nutrition Academy, has a directory as well that have been people that have passed that credential and have been trained thoroughly through that program. There's a few different sources. The problem is they're not all consistent and they're not all the same, as we know. And so someone may say they're trained in it and they're really not. Maybe they got a 24-hour certificate of something. We're trying to work on that, and we're trying to promote this paper in order to, again, establish that standard and establish more of that consistent base to represent this specialty really as a whole.
There was a lot of mention of, you know, this type of training is considered, you know, will make you proficient. This type will make you an expert, you know, combined with experience. And I liked the way you laid that out, because it does seem like there's so many different organizations and educational bodies really trying to help RDs master this field. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, and I'm familiar with this being a naturopathic doctor and working in the integrative and functional space, you know, not everybody has the same definition. And so I liked that your paper actually kind of created a framework that would allow for that. Even if people were trained differently, they could use the same language to describe what they do, how far along in their training or experience with integrative and functional approaches they were. I think that's important, but I love that you gave some practical places for people to start looking for someone with this training that you trust, because I think that's a great next step that someone who's listening and super interested can take to connect with professionals in their area. If someone listening is an IFN trained RDN, please like send out little messages to the practitioners in your area, introducing yourself, saying, this is my training. This is what I do. I'm happy to help your clients. When I would get those messages as a practitioner, I was so excited and relieved. Please do that, because there's so many practitioners who want to work with an RDN with this training. So I'm so glad we're having this conversation.
I was just going to say that I think you bring up a really good point that this work of integrative and functional nutrition is very relational. It's relational between us and our clients and patients, but also between other members of the care team. And I know for my practice, anyhow, most of my clients come to me through referrals, other practitioners or clients that I've worked with, because that, again, is how we do our best work when we're partnering together. And so making those personal connections with people in your area, if you have networks, where I live, we have a network of women, business owners that work in the wellness space. And that's been a really great way for me to connect with like-minded professionals and establish some referrals as well. So, Yeah, relationships aren't just between ourselves and the patients and clients, but also between other providers as well.
Awesome. So you're each on the leading edge in your field in a number of different ways. And I'm curious from each of you, where you think medicine is going in the future. Do you think that medical nutrition is moving more in the integrative and functional direction right now? And Sudo, let's start with you.
So right now, chronic disease is here to stay. So if we look, it's not just a US problem, it's a global issue. So there's actually an epidemic of chronic disease. And lots of interventions have been tried. Lots of research has been done on chronic disease prevention. But people have to change their mindset. They have to actually practice lifestyle behaviors, etc. So in the healthcare system, there is a push towards more value-based healthcare systems. So where, you know, providers are actually incentivized to produce some results, and then they will get special funding for that. So I think integrative and functional medical nutrition therapy is kind of slowly getting integrated into conventional medical practice. And, you know, the other thing is that sets us apart and which is very important is chronic disease is not just about gut function or just bone disease. It's some metabolic aberrations that are happening and dysfunctions that are happening. So you have to look at metabolic health. You have to look at gut health. You have to look at inflammation. You have to look at mental health. You have to look at sleep patterns, what people are eating, what they are being exposed to, environmental pollution. Everything is interconnected in ways that neither a single diagnosis can help nor a single intervention can help to mitigate these issues. So this underscores the importance of us understanding the whole picture and not just parts. So, you know, integrative and functional medical nutrition therapy and science and medicine is basically looking at how all these parts come into synergy, how sometimes they complement each other, how they come synergistically. And therefore, the saying is that the parts never equal the whole. So, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So many years ago, somebody told me about an example with a, you know, grandfather clock. You can easily disassemble the clock, but only the clock person who's, you know, well-versed in putting those parts together, that person will be able to put all those little pieces together. So I think of the IFN dietitian as that person who can think more holistically, more widely outside the silos and try to bring positive outcomes to the patient by looking at the bigger picture rather than just focusing on a more reductionist type of approach. So
I'm so glad you brought up value-based care because we're all referring to things in this conversation like sleep or getting more nutrients or an anti-inflammatory diet or a diet that is going to help with glycemic balance and glycemic load and metabolic health. And it's worth mentioning for each of these interventions we're talking about, they may sound familiar or basic. There are probably tens of thousands of papers that support just focusing on those things as being very, very powerful interventions for either helping to reverse chronic illness or prevent it. And that really is the name of the game when we're thinking about value-based care and how to keep people healthy long-term so that they live really long lives where they are well the majority of the time. And so this type of approach to whole person nutrition is foundational for that. It's cost-saving long-term if we can do it really well. So I think that's an excellent point, Sudha. I'm really glad you brought that up. Monique, what do you think?
So I love that you segued into that because I had this thought of, we've really been asking the question of how are you nourishing your life, right? And then following that through all the different ways that it affects your current health and well-being. And food as medicine doesn't mean that it's a replacement for all medicine, but that nutrition profoundly influences the terrain in which health prospers or disease develops. And so again, we have the time and the training to walk alongside our clients and our patients and really use food as the beginning of a conversation for a much bigger picture. And with all the, you know, the marketing and the promotion, that's just not where we've been. We've been with this Hippocrates quote for, I mean, I can think of one particular mentor who's been using it for 40 years. And so we've been walking alongside alongside our clients and our patients with all of these different aspects and really taking account of what we can do to support change as we learn more as nutrition science evolves.
And so, Holly, as you think about the future, what gives you hope?
I feel hopeful about the stronger focus on prevention, about more collaboration across disciplines, and about recognition that healthcare is impacted by the whole person, and that whole person healthcare is really where we need to be focusing.
I love this. Okay, we're going to hit you guys with what we call our rapid fire question round, which is usually the most fun part of an episode. So, Monique, what is the most underappreciated part of nutrition care?
How transformative it can be.
Great answer. Holly, what's the biggest misconception about dietitians?
That we only provide meal plans.
Fair. I think you have helped to dispel that myth today, for sure. Monique, what's a really impactful shift that patients experience when they work with someone who has your type of training?
Small, consistent, practical habits and the support to make those changes for the long term.
I love that. And Sudha, what's one thing you think more patients need more of?
They need ways to make their changes more sustainable and actually work for them. So, you know, it could be really good changes, but it has to be sustainable. And that's why the context matters quite a bit.
This was a fantastic conversation. The paper that you all have written was also fantastic. I will be linking it in the show notes. I'd love to give each of you a minute to let folks know where they can stay in touch with you, because I'm sure they're listening and wanting to know your website or your social media handle, where they can continue to learn more. So Monique, let's start with you.
Sure. EatRightRx.com is my website. I'm on LinkedIn. You'll find me on Facebook as well. My business name is Nutrition Insight, and I'd love to connect with you.
How about you, Holly?
My business name is Be Balanced Nutrition, Movement, and Lifestyle. I'm also on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, and my website is www.BeBalancedRDN.com.
Perfect. And Sudha, what about you?
My email is my best contact, SRAJ@syr.edu.
Perfect. I love this. Thank you. We're going to have you all back because I think we need to do individual episodes with each of you on your areas of expertise. But I appreciate you joining me quickly as this paper has been published. I thought it was a really good chance for us to all get together to educate our audience a bit about how your field is evolving and how folks who have this type of expertise in integrative and functional nutrition can really help us as practitioners with our own health and our clients to be healthier. So thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. And thank you, Fullscript.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We're so glad you're here. Before you go, we'd love your help spreading this message of whole person care. Our goal is to bring this education to more practitioners for free, and you can make a huge difference. If you liked today's episode, leave us a 5-star review. We read every single one. Drop a comment and let us know what resonated with you, or share this episode with a friend or colleague who might enjoy it. One important note, the views expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and the guests, and they don't necessarily reflect the views of Fullscript or any affiliated organizations. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only, and it's not intended to be medical advice. For your safety, always check with your healthcare provider before making any changes to your healthcare routine. We'll catch you next time on the Root Cause Medicine Podcast.